Tappers, what's up? It is another edition of the Daily Tap Presents, brought to you by the Snowtap WI Network. Hope everybody is doing well. We weren't able to get off a show at the end of last week, which actually was a good thing because some news happened in the topic we're talking about. This one is a little more topical than the others have been, talking about the wide receiver position and the Green Bay Packers and what they might do or how it's going to look by the time we get to August. I think that we are not obviously done. We know that wide receiver is a top priority for the Packers. We do not exactly know what Green Bay is going to do. The wide receiver draft is loaded, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, let's talk about where we are right now. So Green Bay added Devin Funchess. They got Devin Funchess from Indianapolis after a failed year where he broke his collarbone. Devin Funchess hasn't been healthy the last 2 years. He had a great 2017 campaign, a theme that has developed with a lot of the Packers that have been brought in, the free agents, Ricky Wagner, Christian Kirksey, and now Devin Funchess. Now, Devin Funchess has a big body type. He is 6'4". He is 224 pounds. He is a big-ass receiver. He is another big possession-type receiver that Brian Gutekunst apparently loves. The Packers have a lot of taller receivers. It's weird. For so long, in the Ted Thompson years, we wondered whenever would Green Bay get a 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", receiver. And now we're almost seeing the revenge of Gutekunst by bringing all of these guys in. Now, Funchess has had some problems with drops. Funchess has had some issues in terms of being a receiver. He has a large catch radius, but it seemed like Cam Newton threw up a lot of prayers to him. One thing I want you to consider, I thought Ryan Russillo on, I think it was his Tuesday pod. He talked about how Cam Newton is overrated. He talked about how Cam Newton had one good season, and that MVP Super Bowl season was a complete fluke. And if you go through all of Cam Newton's numbers besides that, he really wasn't that good of a quarterback. So you wonder, Funchess has really never played with a quarterback at Aaron Rodgers' level. It would besmirch Aaron Rodgers' name if you put Cam Newton on the same pedestal as Rodgers. He doesn't even sniff his jock, frankly. And so I wonder, is Funchess a product of he hasn't really played with a great quarterback yet? And part of the drops and part of the issues with catch percentage, which Ross Alglum did a great job sort of exposing why that's kind of a fraudulent stat and why we shouldn't take it that seriously, given just the type of throws that Newton would try to make with Funchess, maybe Funchess is a little better than we think he is. Now, he was a great player in college. I really enjoyed watching him in college. I thought he was a great college receiver for Michigan. And he was a decent pro. I mean, he had a really good year in 2017. Again, he has not been good for the last couple of years. Still a young guy, though. I mean, he's only 26 years old. He can go up and get it, and he is going to be a red zone target for Aaron Rodgers. Make no mistake about it. And if Rodgers develops a relationship with him, that's all it takes. And if Rodgers gets comfortable with the receiver, you know what kind of good things can happen. And it does sort of wet Rodgers' whistle in terms of adding another veteran presence in the receiver room. That is what Green Bay lacked. They had so much inexperience out there. And you hope that next year, the guys like Allen Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, as well as Equanimous St. Brown are all seasoned and they're all sort of more veteran types, and the relationship with Rodgers gets even better. But those guys, I think, are all, in a way, on a chopping block, right? We'll talk about the draft here in a second. Obviously, Davante Adams is a standard. He's one of the best receivers in the game. We're not going to really be talking a lot about Davante Adams because you know everything there is to know about Davante Adams. We are talking about the receiver problems. I think Alan Lazard is a star. I think he's a little slow, but he's a great blocking receiver. I think Lazard has a strong future with the Packers, and I think he's their number two. Now, they lost Geronimo Allison to the Lions, who signed a veteran minimum. That's great. I think Geronimo Allison should have been cut at the start of last season. If you remember, I talked about last August how Allison might have been the guy to cut versus Trevor Davis. And now Trevor Davis, I don't think was worth a roster spot, but the Packers were so bad in the return game for half the season before they brought in Tyler Irvin, now coming back to the Packers, that I don't know why they got rid of Trevor Davis if they didn't have a backup plan at the return position. That was definitely a stumble by Brian Gutekunst. I think they thought Geronimo Allison was better than he actually was. Geronimo had a few good moments with the Packers, but it was never really amounted to what we thought his potential could be. A lot of people thought last year Geronimo could break out. He did nothing of the sort. So you got rid of Geronimo Allison. Funchess will be there, whether he's your two or your three. Him and Lazard will battle that out. You could also see Lazard and Funchess on the outside with Devontae Adams in the slot position. I think they are going to get creative there. Then you have a swath of receivers between Valdes-Scantling, Equanimous St. Brown, and Jake Kumerow. Now, I think right now, if you were to say who is on the chopping block, who is the guys that I think will have to have a really good training camp and a really good preseason to make the roster, it's going to be Valdes-Scantling and Kumerow. Kumerow might make it just based off special teams. He's a great special teams player. He does a lot of things in terms of blocking as well as a receiver. I think those are important little detailed things he does that even though he is not a draft pick, Kumerow has found a way to stay on this roster. As for Valdes-Scantling, whatever mentally he was going through last year really fucked him up. He just did not seem like the same player. He needs to learn how to sort of take his game to a next level. I do believe Valdes-Scantling can be a really good receiver for the Packers. I just don't know if he just is not that good or if just it's all between the eyes for him, because I really do think that once he focuses in, he can be a really good receiver. There were just way too many alligator arm moments and a lot of just struggles. So hopefully with the new receiver coach, they can sort of work that out and figure out what is missing with Valdes-Scantling. As for Equanimous St. Brown, I think EQ had some really good moments his rookie year and was probably playing a little bit earlier than expected. And yeah, he was hurt last season, but I do think he has the physical skills to really be special. Again, he's had some, I wouldn't say, you don't want to say mental issues because that sounds mean. He's had some, just he's a little bit of a head case. He's a little bit of a guy who gets in his own way. He did that a lot at Notre Dame. And he just needs to focus in just like Valdes-Scantling. That's part of the reason why St. Brown was a sixth-round draft pick and not a third or a fourth round, which is probably where he should have been drafted. He has all the potential in the world. He just has to put it together. Those guys sometimes do not put it together with their first team, their second team, and it's their third team, and it's like they're 30 years old and all of a sudden they're a Pro Bowler and you're like, well, what the fuck just happens with guys like this? Now, Green Bay will be drafting a receiver, maybe two receivers, probably not three. They probably will not draft three. That would be overkill considering all the other guys that are currently with the Green Bay Packers. The question is, who will they draft? Everybody has their own ideas. They've put them in mock drafts. The idea of giving Aaron Rodgers some talent. I am more than prepared that the Packers will not draft a receiver in the first round and the world will burn. It will crumble. I know that might be an insensitive thing to say given all that's happening right now in the world, but I do think that people will lose their shit if the Packers do not draft a receiver in the first round. There are other needs, right? Inside linebacker, offensive tackle, wide receiver are the top three needs. If the Packers draft a linebacker or a tackle in that 30th spot, you cannot be mad at them. You are absolutely not allowed to be mad at the Packers for not drafting a receiver. I want you to promise me that as a listener of this show, that you will not be mad. I know it could depend on who's available, but if they can fill another need, that's great. If they draft an interior lineman or they draft a corner, then we fucking riot, okay? Okay. Like, that's when we riot. We riot if they draft somebody that they absolutely do not need to fill a position for. The question is, who is Green Bay's prototype? Now, Pete Bukowski on AcmePacker.com, AcmePackingCompany.com, wrote a really good article basically outlining the type of guys that the Packers would draft given their RAS score. Basically, that is a cumulative of all the different drills they've done in the combine, as well as different size and speed requirements. The Packers do have types when it comes to receivers, and they've had types since the Ron Wolf days. Now, could they break away from that trend given that this is an unprecedented time for receivers? Maybe. I mean, the one problem is, right? The one problem with all of the COVID-19 stuff, they did not get a pro day to say, okay, like they're, Bukowski pointed out that LaVisca Chenault is too slow. Pointed out that Jalen Reagor doesn't have the agility that you want. KJ Hamler too small. I think KJ Hamler will not be drafted by the Packers. But as for Reagor and Chenault, I think both guys I really like. Both guys I think would be really good players for the Packers. Do you look at other things? Do you gather other information? Are they looking at what Chenault tested with the team, you know, in his, like, before his senior year? Usually you test and those scores could be available. Are you talking to your scouts and saying, are we sure that they buck the trend because we only have one round of testing? It is very possible. I don't think people are talking about this enough when the Packers do have types. Like, they are a team that is a type-driven draft. They have their kind of guys they like. And I do wonder if they'll buck those trends just a little bit when it comes to this, because there isn't as much testing available. They don't have hard and fast answers as they've had in years past. Obviously, it'll matter who is there and who is available. Bukowski pointed out that Justin Jefferson and Denzel Mims sort of fit profiles that the Packers would like. Now, there's a lot of thought that Mims and Jefferson will both be long gone before the Packers draft at 30. I don't know about that. So that, to me, is the great debate right now. That is the great sort of conversation that I don't know where we're at yet with it. There are so many great receivers. There's obviously the top three with Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb. Those three are not in the Packers' playbook unless they trade up into the early teens for a pick. I doubt that they would do something like that considering how many receivers are available, unless they think a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who I love, is a complete game changer and would immediately make the Packers the top Super Bowl contender. That is the only reason you trade up to get a guy like CeeDee Lamb. So those guys are untouchable. But after that, I think it is a complete crapshoot, because there's two ways to look at this. One way is there are so many good receivers that even if people do not need a receiver, even if you're like, we got guys, like, we really could use it in other positions, but man, oh man, like Justin Jefferson or T. Higgins or Chenault are so good that we can't pass up on this guy. This guy is our best guy on our board. We have to take him here. That receivers almost go more and they're seen in higher value because there are so many good ones, and adding offensive weapons in today's NFL is always smart. That the more weapons you have, the better you have a chance of succeeding. It's not a hard science at all. Or it goes in the other direction. The other direction is, hey, there's going to be so many receivers available in round two and round three that we can wait. We'll draft a tackle. We'll draft that corner. We'll draft that safety, that quarterback maybe even. Like, we'll wait on wide receiver because we know that they're going to be there later. So there's two schools of thought. And how the Packers want this to play out is the latter. They want people to sort of wait for receivers. If they wait for receivers, then all of a sudden the Packers put themselves in great position for a guy like Mims or Jefferson, who, following all the numbers and what you read, those are probably the top two picks. I am not ruling out Chenault or Rager, though. I think both have potential to make it to the Green Bay Packer podium. Now, there are other guys like Brandon Ajuk and Michael Pittman Jr., who are probably, if you draft them at 30, you'll have the, well, why did you draft that guy? It was way too early to pick up a guy like that. But as Bukowski points out, it's probably, they will not be there at 62. The teams who, like we just talked about, are going to say, oh yeah, we'll wait to get a receiver. That's who they're waiting on. There are other names too, right? But they're waiting on a guy like Ajuk or Pittman Jr., and they draft them then in the second round instead of the first. Or a team who drafted a quarterback in the first round, say the Cincinnati Bengals or the Miami Dolphins, then they get a receiver to complement in the second round. It's, again, it's not a hard science to figure this shit out. So what do the Packers do then? Do they trade back? Do they let a team like Cincinnati get into the first round again to get a tackle, or Miami, for example, and then in the second round you draft that receiver? That to me seems a little more logical. If I had to handicap this, right, of like, how would you say this goes for the Packers? I would say that I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a receiver that falls to them. Whether it is Mims, whether it's Jefferson, T. Higgins didn't really do testing, but I think T. Higgins is good enough to be considered in that mix. One of those guys falls in the range of the Packers. I'm not saying it's going to be 30, but I'm going to say that there is an opportunity to draft them later. I have a tendency to think that the latter of what we talked about earlier, that more teams are going to wait on receivers. And so it's going to be up to the GMs who either need receivers or who are smart to pounce when it makes sense. You're going to have to pull that card at some point. When are you going to do it is the $100,000 question. And now, will Green Bay get another receiver? Yes. And I think it's predicated on when they will get that other receiver, wherever they draft the first one. I know that's kind of sounds redundant, right? But if they draft the first guy in round two, I think they're going to go after one in round three right away and get someone good. But if they draft someone in round one, I think they're more likely to wait for another one and fill up the rest of those needs. Your offensive tackle, your middle linebacker, I think later on in the draft, you should look at a running back considering the contract situation with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. And then also too, you probably need to replace a nickel corner if you're not going to bring Tremont Williams back. Even if you are, obviously Tremont's a little older. I think you need to improve that slot corner spot in the draft. So the Packers have a lot of options at receiver. And some might not be your favorite names. You might really like a guy and you're like, well, why doesn't he fit for the Packers? There is more than enough research out there to say he's probably not going to be a part of it. I do think that there might be a little bit of leeway, as mentioned earlier, because of the COVID-19 stuff. And I also want to stress this with the receivers, and we're almost at time, so I'll shut up here soon. A rookie receiver is likely not going to completely change everything for the Packers. I know that if they get a guy like, let's just say they get Justin Jefferson, okay? I would be very excited. I would say, yes, this is really great. The Packers have a chance to be really special on offense. But again, you have to come in with tepid expectations for a rookie, especially at a receiver position in an offense that is not as complicated as Mike McCarthy's, but it's definitely not an easy offense to learn either. So you can't just immediately expect this rookie to change the fucking dynamic of this team, right? You have to understand that they are going to be a part of the cog, a part of what Green Bay is trying to do. If Green Bay gets, let's say Green Bay decides to sign Taylor Gabriel, not that I think they will, but if they decide to sign Taylor Gabriel, it doesn't rule them out of drafting a receiver early, but I do think that that would, again, put less pressure on the rookie to succeed right away. Some rookies are ready to go. Some rookies are just raring and excellent. And you, with, you know, coaching staffs like Baylor's and LSU's with Mims and Jefferson, you trust that those guys are NFL ready out the box. For others, you're like, I don't know. There's a lot of noise around Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is more of a, where if the Packers picked him in the second round or the third round, makes more sense. But he's a guy that it's going to take some time. It's not going to be an easy transition there. So I don't exactly know what the Packers will do. I think it will take shape as it gets closer, and maybe we'll get some nuggets. They're very close to the vest. We did not expect a guy like Rashawn Gary to be drafted 12th overall. There were some that got sort of the in, and all of a sudden you started seeing Rashawn Gary's name pop up, and they were there. But it's not a given in any ways. There's no one player that I'm saying that anyone can say it's a lock, because A, the NFL draft is unpredictable. B, when you're drafting at the end of the first round, a lot of shit can happen. So I will leave you with that. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to be talking about our feelings again and talking about teams that have hurt our feelings in our younger years, our older years. We'll talk about those that are nuisances, because I think you kind of got to dig a little bit on this. This isn't just a one-year thing. If you're saying they hurt your feelings, it means a multiple-year annoyance. All right, take care, Tappers. Have a good one. Bye.